You're locked into the Despirito Team Real Estate Show with host and top realtor Emilio Despirito on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. We're talking with industry leaders about real estate trends, money-making tips, and advice on buying and selling the American dream. Now, here's Emilio Despirito.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. This is Gregory Rice from Nexus Property Management. I'm filling in today for my good buddy, my friend Emilio Despirito of Engel & Volker. You know him. You've been listening to him now for close to a decade. So I'm very grateful today, very honored to step in and fill these very large shoes. So thank you very much to Emilio. And he told me last night, he goes, Greg, you're going to have 10 minutes to talk about whatever you would like to. And what other would I love to talk about other than my favorite place on the planet, Woonsocket, Rhode Island, right? Woonsocket's tucked away up in our northwestern corner of the state, and it's a former mill town. So I'm into the property management. You've heard me on the show for years, Nexus Property Management, and all we deal with are rentals, investors, and tenants. That's what we deal with. And Woonsocket, for 10 years now, I've seen the transformation. I've seen the positivity. I've seen the growth. And the motto from the mayor, great mayor, Lisa Baldelli Hunt, is that Woonsocket is a city on the move. Simple, effective, and true. Okay. Woonsocket, over these 10 years that I've seen, has improved drastically. And a lot of people in Rhode Island still have a negative connotation of the city. They think that it's dilapidated, that they think it's desolate, they think that there's no hope for it. But I'm here today to tell you that that is nothing but a falsehood. I've been investing in, I've been investing in properties up there now, and I have to say the majority of my portfolio is up there. And the tenants are excellent, the rents are strong, and the properties have appreciated in value. Yes, my taxes have gone up, but that's the case for everybody in the state. And recently, I purchased the former Sacred Heart Church. And you may know that it's on 2nd and 3rd Avenues, right at the intersection of Olo Street. Now, this property was vacant since 2018. That was the last mass at the Sacred Heart Parish. And for 4 years, it sat dormant. You drive by, you see this beautiful building, there's trees growing everywhere, the grass is high, the windows are cracked, you know, it's just a total shame. So I'm driving by and I see for sale, Marge Jacob, Remax Town and Country. And I know Marge because she sold me one of my first rentals in Woonsocket. So I called Marge and said, hey Marge, what's up with this church for sale? I didn't know that you sold churches. And she goes, Greg, it's been vacant for 4 years. I've had it listed for a year. Nobody wants it. And I said, Marge, I'm not in the church buying business, but you know what? Let me check it out. So we set up an appointment to view the property. And what I did to prepare was I brought my architect, Amy Lombardo of ZDS Architects. I brought my builder, Ben Hyman of Bentley Builders. And then I brought about a dozen of my closest advisors and consultants, including our good buddy, Emilio Despirito. We go up to the property. There's a rectory, there's a rec hall, and then there's the parish proper where they have the mass. And there's also a humongous parking lot right across the street. So I look at the property. We all talk about it after. And the architect goes, Greg, we can get 16 apartments in here. 16. And I'm like, holy cow, 16 apartments. This will be amazing. This will be my biggest property. And the asking price, I believe, was about $575,000. So I said to Amy, the architect, I said, listen, go to the drawing board, put something rough together, sketch out how many units we can actually get, do some measurements, figure it out. So she comes back to me. She goes, Greg, you're not going to believe this, but we can get 32 apartments in here. 32. And I said, wow, 32 apartments. So now I'm getting excited, but not too excited, because I turned to Ben the builder, and I say, Ben, how much is this going to cost to build? Okay, so Ben starts to work out the numbers, and lo and behold, it makes sense from an investment standpoint. So this process now has just begun because preliminary results show that will make sense. So what I say to Marge is, listen, Marge, I'll put down a deposit, but I need about 6 to 7 months to do my due diligence, it's called. And due diligence are things like environmental testing, talking with the city, applying for a tax treaty, trying to get financing. You're trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. So over these 6 months, I receive a great deal of good feedback from the architect, from the builder, from the city. And that's unheard of. Usually there's some type of hurdle that's getting in the way of a project like this. I go before the town council, I get a nice tax treaty, a 7-year tax treaty, which I'm very grateful and thankful for. I go before the zoning board and get unanimous approval for 32 units with the parking right across the street. Very grateful. I have financing lined up. Northeastern Savings Bank in Massachusetts. Greg, it looks good. This is a great property. It's a great loan. So, okay, let's do it. So we have the closing slated for August. And by closing, I mean the acquisition of the property and the land, and then also the loan paperwork with the bank. It's pretty much two separate transactions, since you're buying the property, and then you have a construction loans that's coming after. So it's a little different than a traditional purchase. And then a couple of days before the closing, I get a call from Northeastern Savings Bank, and they say, we got a report back from our consultant, our third party, Pomeroy and Associates, and they say that the building is not structurally sound. It's going to fall down. You're not going to be able to get these rents, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, 2 days before the closing, guy, really? Now I'm in a rock and a hard place because I'll lose my large deposit with Marge if I back out. But I could still purchase the property, pay cash, and figure out the financing later. So I sat down with my father, my closest confidant and trusted advisor, friend, everything. I said, Dad, what are we going to do? And he goes, well, you're a risk taker. You operate on calculated risk. And I said, that I do. So I ended up purchasing the property, paid cash for it without the construction financing in place. So now I own this beautiful, wonderful property, but I have nobody that has committed to financing it. So at this point, I'm pushing, I'm making videos, I'm out, newspaper, Providence Business News, you name it. Okay, I'm pushing, getting it out there. I go on the road show. Go on the road show, and then I get a call from Centerville Bank. Centerville Bank says, Greg, we saw you on the road show. We love this project. We'd love to take a look at it. So Centerville comes out, they take a look at the property and they say, this is beautiful. Your numbers look good. Okay, the property's owned outright. You have experience in property management. You have four offices here in New England. We trust and believe that you can get this done. So Centerville Bank, they stepped up to the plate, and I want to say thank you to them. And I want to use this as an anecdotal story to get back to my original point, a city on the move. You got people like me, busy, 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 looking at Woonsocket as an opportunity. You got a large bank, one of the top 10 largest banks in Rhode Island, that also is piggybacking on that same confidence. Centerville Bank believes in Woonsocket. So for the naysayers out there who don't trust that motto and don't trust the current mayor and her newly elected city council members, I ask you to reconsider and use this. Use this in your discussions with folks to let them know that things are happening up here and you should be excited and happy to see the change to come. All right, folks. So coming up next up, my good friend, my buddy, my pal, Mr. Matthew Bates of Movement Mortgage.
This segment is brought to you by Matt Bates for Movement Mortgage, NMLS number 844154. Movement Mortgage supports equal housing opportunity, NMLS number 39179, NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Now back to the Dispirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Greg Rice from Nexus Property Management filling in for my good buddy, my good pal, Emilio Dispirito of Angle and Volkers. And today we got my favorite guest of all guests, Mr. Matt Bates of Movement Mortgage. Matt, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you? Happy New Year.
You too, my brother. And I like what we're doing now. You don't have a topic. We're going to be organic. We're going to freestyle. And the listeners are going to get actual thoughts bubbling out of the top of your head. So what is bubbling in that dome right now?
Well, I have a question for you, being in the property management role. How many tenants have you seen that went through the rent relief and now they still can't pay?
Oh yeah, that's a great topic. So I have one tenant specifically that received 12 months of rent relief and the rent was about $1,200. So you do quick math, that's, you know, 14,000 give or take. She didn't have to pay rent for a whole year. And then the first month that rent became due, which is January, okay, she's in arrears. And she contacted us and said, hey, you know, can I pay bi-weekly and can you waive my late fee?
Really?
You want us to give you a payment plan and waive the late fee?
You want the government to give you $14,000 for the year of free rent, but because you were special enough to get that, now you're going to be special enough to waive the late fee and have your own payment schedule now.
Correct. So what it showed me, and it may be anecdotal, it may not be the telltale sign of our society, but it just showed me that people don't respect this country. People don't respect our financial system, and they don't respect us, investors, landlords, people that are taking care of them and the roof that they live under. So it made me very sad and just disheartened that we spent how many hundreds of millions, if not billions, getting people to be stable, and they took it as an opportunity to buy Jordans and flat screen TVs.
That's interesting because, you being in that property management space, you have the biggest evidence. You know, it's almost like they should have just touched base with people like that are in your position as like at least a courtesy follow up to say, hey, how did that work with, you know, rent relief? And because I'm hearing it time and time again, a lot of the customers that I help end up buying multifamilies and they're their own landlord. They're not necessarily using a property management company like Nexus Property Management, but they're trying to do it on their own. And it's like, sometimes you can be like navigating in a storm or a traveling in the ocean with no compass, and they lean on, like, you know, cause I personally own a couple of myself and, a small network of people that might, you know, hey, what did you go through this? Did you have this experience or what did you do when this happened type of thing? And they'll call me up and it's just crazy to see this play out the long term. And did it really help people?
Correct.
Did it really, really, truly help people? Because there's no relief from the relief. You know, it's like, oh, you know what? We're going to give you another 12 months. No, that's done and over. And, I've recently evicted a tenant myself. Thankfully, I didn't have to go through the whole eviction process. We came to terms and she was able to move in with family and you know, we're moving on. But, you know, it's just it's something I've been thinking about every day. It's like, you know, I can't see how, you know, and there are some folks I do have to give it to people because there's a couple of other tenants that I have that did go through rent relief, mm-hmm. did get the money and were very thankful the first time that they had to pay rent that I helped them out through that,
correct,
that rent relief, you know, situation. So it's not 100% by all means. There are, I think it's it might be a case of like that one tenant or those handful of tenants are like ruining it for everybody. Like they're,
right,
you know, you get sometimes as a landlord, you get too upset about things and you can't paint everybody with the same brush. Obviously, you know, right, every situation is a little different, right, but you know, from the phone calls that I've gotten and the people that I've talked to, it's everybody, you know, every property owner that rents out to tenants that may have may have not gone through rent relief are still having their examples of troubles that are going through when it comes to, you know, managing these properties and tenants. And I guess my goal here today and the reason for the discussion, the question is to reach out to those homeowners that have property management, you know, those homeowners that are also landlords that may or may not be dealing with this, that we're here to one, maybe have like a little therapy session with, you know, a little, you know, pick another brain. But there's ways to go about making sure that you're on top of your game. So that way it's not something that turns into a big, long, drawn out event. You know, there's ways to handle it, whether it's eviction or speaking with the tenant the right way so that they, you know, if it's time to end the agreement and end the relationship, mm-hmm, going about it a certain way makes it that much easier or that much harder, depending on, you know, what's going on. So, you know, for those landlords, those homeowners that are actual landlords that need some help, you know, I asked them to reach out to us so that way we can share some of our experiences and network to make it happen.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you have some really funny, interesting stories coming from your angle.
It what bothers me the most, Matt, is just that, you know, people lean on excuses. And growing up, at least for me, excuses were not accepted as any form of currency, whether with my parents, my teachers, my teammates, all the sports teams I played on. Excuses you couldn't deposit those at the bank, the metaphorical bank. But nowadays, I feel like COVID, one of the byproducts was that it created an opportunity, a slew of more excuses for people to have to not step up and be accountable. And granted, millions of people were negatively affected, perished from this. It was a terrible event. But there's a lot of people that are opportunists that look at it now like, oh, my rent's late because I got COVID. Like, it's 2023. That doesn't work anymore, at least even in the eyes of the government. I mean, they're stopping the supplemental nutrition assistance program addition. They have like a COVID add to the SNAP benefits. So even that's getting rescinded. So even the government is saying like, all right, enough's enough. But people are still going to lean on it. They're not going to want to come into the office. They still want, you know, their 6-foot distance. And to me, it's like, we need to unify. We need to get tough. And we need to understand that the way that we live here is not the default across the globe, right? As we're seeing.
I totally agree. And it's almost like they're going to ride it out to make it so bad that it's almost in their heads like, well, if I just continue to stick it out and be stubborn and not, you know, do what I have to do to, you know, somebody will come and save the day. You know, somebody will come in and make it all right. And it's like, it'll never be all right if you think that way. You know, you'll never. The people that are doing that are the ones that shouldn't be helped. It's the people that are doing it and aren't asking for that handout or that, you know, that crutch or that like, you'll never get back. Those are the people that deserve the help. It's the ones that are trying to make it happen, you know? Right. And it just seems like, you know, if I'm going to be that big of a pain and that big of a, I'm trying to use the right words here, but you know, they're taking advantage of the system. That's not what it's for. I mean, some folks only got 3 or 4 months that I saw. To see 12 months.
Correct.
You know,
a lot of the listeners probably know Merle Haggard. You remember Merle Haggard? He was a country western, you know, you can call him a rock and roller singer, songwriter. And he had a great song that said, you know, there's too many people that are living off the fat of our great land. And that to me was like, as a kid, I was like, living off the fat of our land. What does that mean? And he was talking about that. That was probably in the 70s that he wrote that lyric. And nowadays I see that people are like piranhas. There is no fat left on our land, right? There's no grizzle. It's just lean. It's almost like a skeleton with skin, if you look at it. So I think we need to contribute. Guys like you and me are anomalies. We're creating value. We're putting people in homes. We're giving them life memories and experiences and opportunities. And most people just want to sit back, order Uber Eats, and scroll on TikTok.
Yeah, like it's wild to say that. Now, I have a buddy of mine that just got done renovating a new house, and had a tenant move in. Tenant was struggling because of COVID. I think he was self-employed or, you know, a contractor or whatever. Started trying to pay through labor. Okay, that's better than saying you can't. It's better than you saying you can't pay, but still, I'd rather have the money. But all right, you're gonna paint this fence, or you know, you're gonna do something for me, because the friend that I'm talking about owns multiple properties, so like there's always something to do, you know. But at the end of the day, the bills still have to get paid, you know. And I'd rather, again, it's better than not saying that you can pay, but still, let's try to get some payment going. So did that a couple of times. And then also my buddy put him on with the rent relief.
Hmm.
12 months went by, and then coming up, I can't pay. Wasn't even willing to do the labor anymore. And told him he was not going to be able to pay for 4 or 5 months, and that he was going to squat if he tried to get evicted. So then my buddy paid him to leave. Gave him $4,000 to leave the house. And he left it a disaster. Disaster. He ruined the completely renovated house. And what do you do? You know, you can't teach him a physical lesson, because then you get arrested for that. You can't sue him, because you can't take blood from a stone. And to me, that's just so wild, you know. And, you know, if there is anybody that's out there that's listening that thinks that that's okay to do, it's not okay to do that. And, you know, what goes around does come around. So at some point in time, at some point in that person's life, there will be reparations for something, from somebody that's not going to take it from you anymore. And you can't do that, you know. So I was sitting here thinking about what would be something interesting to talk to you about. I appreciate you sharing, you know, your thoughts, because you know, we're all going through something similar, and it's good to hear that I'm not the only one.
Oh yeah, bro.
Sometimes, you know, it's good and bad to hear, you know.
And I love that you're willing to go outside of the box, you know, on company time here, because that's the most relatable to people. Is talking about, for instances and examples like this. We could talk about the market, we could talk about the rate, but what teaches and resonates most is real life events and stories. So again, folks, Matt Bates from Movement Mortgage, check him out, the RIMortgageGuy.com. And this guy has written plenty of mortgages for me and my people. So Matt, thank you very much for coming on the show. And any final thoughts?
No. Other than it's good to see you, man. And right, I'm looking forward to the next opportunity to hang out with you.
Next up, folks, we have my good buddy, my good friend, Mr. Mike Auger from Patriot Property Inspections. He's going to give us two topics today: waiving home inspections and the importance of pre-list home inspections. Stay tuned.
Now back to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike with Patriot Property Inspections, and we've got two mini topics here to address that are really closely related. First, I'd like to start with the housing market over the last year. We've seen a really weird thing go on. The inventory has been low. There's been crazy high demand for houses. And what happened was we had a lot of buyers make offer after offer after offer on houses, and they weren't getting their offer accepted, offering $20,000, $40,000, $80,000 over asking price. And eventually what happens is you just can't offer more money because the house is only going to be worth so much. It's only going to appraise for so much. So what happened was, one of my least favorite things is, it got trendy to waive home inspections. So buyers decided to make their offer more palatable to sellers. They would waive their inspection contingency and make their offer more attractive. And certainly it is, because now the seller of the house knows that this buyer is not going to come back and ask them to fix stuff. They're not going to come back with a repair request or a price concession request based on an inflated offer just to get in the door and then lower the price after the home inspection. And over the course of 2022, as many as 85% of houses were purchased without the benefit of a home inspection, which is completely insane. It was a perfect storm for sellers. You had homeowners looking to sell their houses or house flippers that were looking to go ahead and cut corners. And with the ability to basically only accept offers with waived home inspections, nothing was keeping any of this in check. We had several clients that waived home inspections that asked us to inspect the house after they moved in just so they could see what they bought. Some of them were as expected. House needs a little bit of work, but it is kind of what they thought it was, and that's great. Those people lucked out. Unfortunately, some of those folks really got hurt. We had one client that had a failed boiler that was leaking carbon monoxide into the house. There was rusted out electric panel literally with water in it and a plumbing vent system that was leaking sewer gas into the house. This poor lady had probably $15,000 worth of work before she could put her family safely in the house. We had another customer that bought a $2.5 million plus home. Imagine how many windows are in a house that big. Of like 60 or 70 windows in this house, only two of them worked because the flipper didn't install them properly. Basically ruined all of them. Figure that out for about $500 to $600 a window minimum. This was a big expense. We've seen failed septic systems and crumbling foundations. Now, it's a seller's market. Would have been a seller's market anyway. Maybe the sellers wouldn't have negotiated or repaired any of these items, but the buyer would have been able to prepare for it rather than move into the house, get their furnishings done, maybe do renovations, and now all of a sudden have more severe items that they got to fix. Now, because word gets out that the buyers kind of got kind of hosed during this period of time, and there is litigation happening where people are getting sued, the waiving of the home inspections has kind of become a thing of the past. So we're seeing a few people waive them, but not that many. The issue with home inspections and why sellers don't like them is the unknown. Everybody fears the unknown. So when the seller lists their house on the market, they get somebody, they make a good offer, they accept that offer, and then the home inspection happens, and you just don't know what the home inspector is going to turn up. Is he going to find 80 grand worth of stuff wrong? Is he going to find structural items? Is he going to make up things because the guy doesn't know what he's doing? Who knows? But once the buyer gets that information, now the seller's stuck having to negotiate repairs or make financial concessions based on what was in the home inspection report. And that uncertainty, that can mess up the seller's their profit margin if they're an investor. It can ruin their ability to buy the next house because the house now that they're trying to sell doesn't sell, and it can be that kind of chain reaction of events. So now that people are not waiving home inspections and the holy grail of buyers, the unicorn, if you will, is not out there anymore, what could a seller do to alleviate that stress and that uncertainty of the buyer's home inspection? I'll tell you what they can do. They can do a pre-list home inspection. That's where we do the same inspection that we would do for a buyer, but we do it for the seller. They say knowledge is power, and it is. If the seller has a home inspection done before they list the house, now they have the opportunity to strategize. Are they going to fix items and then try to get tippity-top dollar for the house on the market? Do they not have the means to fix items, but they still don't want to get nickel and dimed on the buyer's inspection, so they're going to inspect the house and just disclose everything and then just price it accordingly? Like, you know, the house isn't perfect. It's got a bunch of stuff wrong with it. We've taken that into account. Here's our new price. If you do a pre-list inspection as a seller, even if you don't get the news you want because we find significant things wrong with the house, financially, you're still better off. That inspection will pay for itself pretty much 100% of the time. The seller has the option to fix items or just disclose items. If the seller has a bunch of stuff wrong with the house and they disclose it, that basically takes that off the negotiation table for the buyer. It's basically letting the world know, we've done our diligence, we've had a professional come in and inspect the house, and we've priced this house according to its actual condition. So we're not really going to negotiate if your home inspector comes in and finds the same list of stuff. Now, if the buyer's home inspector finds something different, all right, well, then there'll be some negotiation, but you're really hedging your bets. Some examples of this. Let's just say you have a house that's about 40 years old and you have the original boiler, but you are detailed, like OCD, and you service this thing every year. Every time you think that thing has a hiccup, you have a great contractor come in and work on it, and this thing runs like a top, even though it's old. So you're going to disclose, hey, our boiler's 40 years old, but works great. As long as it still works on the buyer's inspection, everything is clear sailing. Now, let's say you don't disclose the age of the boiler because you forget, or you just don't know, or whatever. And then the buyer's home inspector comes in and says, hey, this boiler is 40 years old. These things only last about 40 years. You might get a buyer that's going to try to negotiate $6,000 or $7,000 right there because their inspector told them the boiler's at the end of its life, even though it works just fine. Other things like we did an inspection for a customer and the disclosed amperage on the house for the electrical system was 200 amps. However, there was only 100 amps there. If that seller had done a home inspection ahead of time, they could have accurately put that there was 100-amp service, and it wouldn't have affected the price of the house probably at all. However, now this buyer thought he was buying a house with 200 amps, finds out it's only 100. He's trying to negotiate whatever it is, $2,000, $3,000 to upgrade the service. Those kinds of things more than pay for whatever we charge to do the home inspection. So if you're looking to get rid of that apprehension, now that home inspections are back, and trust me, folks, home inspections are back for good. If you're thinking about selling your house this spring, now's a great time to go ahead and get us in to do a pre-list inspection, check the house out, give you the report that we would give to a buyer, and then you can act accordingly and you can work with your real estate advisor and strategize what you're going to do. Some things you may have to fix, other things you may not have to fix, but either way, it's going to really lower that stress of trying to renegotiate after the buyer's inspection. I mean, you are trying to capitalize on the biggest asset you have, which is your house. So if you're selling the house, definitely do a pre-list home inspection. For any more information about what we do or how we do it, look us up online at homeinspectorri.com or feel free to call us 401-578-4878. This is Mike with Patriot Property Inspections. Have a great day.
Now back to the Dispirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
All right. Hey, everybody. I'm back. Greg Rice today filling in for my good buddy. You know him, Emilio Dispirito, the fourth. He's a fourth generation Rhode Islander. And today we're talking to Jennifer Jaber from RI Blogger. She's going to tell us the top five end of January events. Jen, are you there? What's going on?
I'm here. Lots of things are going on. First and foremost, if you like to bowl and you're a wildlife advocate, then January 29th, is Bowl for Wildlife at Old Mountain Lanes in Wakefield. It's 2:30 to 5, and it's presented by Furry Fellas and Wildlife Volunteers. And the event benefits the Wildlife Clinic of Rhode Island and the Wildlife Rehabilitators Association, which I've had some experience with, you know, when you find like little bunnies, or one time I found a little possum, a baby, and you take them there and they, you know, take care of them. So it's a great cause. It's $25 per person. It includes 2 hours of bowling, shoe rental. It's family friendly, and food and drink is available for purchase. And you can reserve your spot via the link on the event page. So I think it's definitely worth reserving a space because I imagine it'll fill up. The Arctic Playhouse in West Warwick presents the Addams Family from January 26th to February 12th. And that Wednesday show I know is very popular now. So tickets are $18 in advance. It's a comical show embracing the wackiness of families. And it's an original story, which is Every Dad's Worst Nightmare Wednesday, the Queen of Darkness. grown up and fallen in love with a sweet man from a respectable, quote unquote, normal family. So now Gomez must hide the secret from Morticia, and everything changes as they host a dinner for the new boyfriend. And again, it's January 26th, 27th, 28th, February 3rd, 4th, 9th, 10th and 11th at 7:30. And it's the 29th of February 5th and the 12th at 2. And again, it's 18 in advance and 20 at the door. This also sounds like a great event. The Historic Park Theater in Cranston presents the Ivy League of Comedy Friday, January 27th at 8 p.m. It's a premier group of comedians touring America, and they're making their stop in Rhode Island. They're voices that have graced late night TV and Comedy Central. So it's a perfect way to hang out with a group or bring a date. It's stand-up comedy's funniest and brightest and upcoming stars. And you can get your tickets at theparkri.com. Saturday, January 28th is the night dedicated to the king of rock and roll, Elvis, at the Stadium Theater at 8 p.m. Elvis's tribute by Leo Days returns with his stunning tribute to Elvis. The performance will transport you to the Vegas Strip, complete with a live band. Leo Days is one of the most sought-after Elvis tributes. He's a talented singer, a gifted guitarist, and an incredible performer, and also will be live singing. It won't be anything recorded. And you can get your tickets at stadiumtheater.com for that. And last but not least, this sounds awesome, and there's a few days to get there. Starts on Thursday, January 26th, and ends on the 29th. It's the Ice Jam 2023, a winter celebration in downtown Providence. It's family-friendly fun, including ice skating, ice bumper cars, a winter wonder walk with frozen friends, live music, artisans, vendors, food trucks. Other highlights include an ice skating disco party, skate and spin DJ night, Dunkin' Products giveaway, a story walk, a winter wonder adventure walk, ice sculptures, light installations, art, food and drinks in the warm-up tent, and live acoustic music. So definitely lots going on from the 26th to the 29th in Providence.
And I've never done this before, Jen, but I want to throw in a pre-suggestion for February to our listeners.
Ooh. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to this event. You should be going as well. It's on February 4th. It's at the stadium in Woonsocket.
Okay.
Woonsocket, and it's Artemis Pyle. Artemis Pyle was the drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd when that horrific plane crash happened. And wow. Artemis survived. He's one of the only surviving members of that band, and he still tours to this day. I've seen him quite a few times. It's tremendous. He's going to be playing at the Stadium Theater February 4th in Woonsocket.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Thank you.
So just a personal favorite.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Jen. Anything else before we go?
Nope. We'll be coming out with some Valentine's ideas in the next week or so. So definitely keep checking it out and see where you can do your Valentine's or your Galentine's. Any of those.
Love it. Thank you so much, Jen. Once again, folks, RI Blogger, check her out, riblogger.com. All right, everybody. Once again, thank you very much for listening today to the Despirito Team Radio Show. My good buddy, Emilio Despirito. I'm your fill-in host, Mr. Gregory Rice, Nexus Property Management. We want to say thank you to all of our guests today, starting with Mr. Matt Bates of Movement Mortgage, Mike Auger of Patriot Property Inspections, and last but definitely not least, Jennifer Jaber from RI Blogger. And one of the events that Jen mentioned, okay, stuck out in my mind, and it probably did to you as well, that comedy night at the Park Theater in Cranston. Now, I want to give a special shout out to Mr. Ed Brady. Ed Brady was the mastermind behind getting the dust off of that property. And I want to give Ed a personal shout out and a round of applause for taking on a cumbersome task like that. Now, Rhode Island has a lot of properties that served the community 50, 60, 80, 100 years ago. And then they fall in disrepair, they go dormant, and people don't want to deal with them. But what do you notice about these properties? Just like I was talking about with the church earlier, they're typically in the epicenter of a community. They're in a downtown area. They're taking up a lot of real estate. So to you bankers out there, I want this to serve as a little note that you should not be scared. You should not be intimidated to take on an investor like Ed, like myself, that has a dream, that has a vision, that has our ish together, right? Nobody wants to take on tough projects like that. And a lot of times they're met with strict, strict walls. Oh, we can't do this because of that. Oh, no, this is not possible. Oh, no, never going to happen. So the other option, if you look across from Woonsocket City Hall, the former hospital trust, that's what you have. You got a fence. You got a property falling down. You got spray paint and graffiti. So that's the option. A dormant, beautiful building in any city or town. West Warwick, Providence, East Providence, doesn't matter. They all have them. So we need to embrace each other. We need to be able to take calculated risk and understand that the reason why Rhode Island is so successful is because people took risks and because people weren't afraid to make moves. In my opinion, Providence, after the mall was put in, changed dramatically for the better. And at that time, people were like, you want to put a mall? You want to go over the river? You want to go over the railroad tracks? You want to displace this diner? There was so much opposition. Okay. And yes, it's sad. There's no perfect solution. There's no perfect equation with real estate and development. But overall, you have to look at the greater good. So once again, just a public service announcement. Look for the greater good and then support our investors like Ed, like myself, like Emilio, that are taking chances. Once again, folks, Greg Rice from Nexus Property Management. Thank you for tuning in to the Despirito Team Radio Show.